Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games.
Yes, we are. And do you want to introduce today's topic,
Yeah,
Drew?
This week we're talking about games inspired by films or film. We're both big movie buffs anyway, aren't we? We're both fairly big film fans, so this seemed like a fairly natural topic to do. And there's definitely a lot of crossover between games and films as sort of a visual medium, so it seems like something worth talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the industry tends to talk about films that have been made out of games, or games of films, as opposed to just the influence of film on games.
Exactly.
Yeah, so cinematic or filmic games is our topic. And we've kind of approached the topic from different angles, because just for the listeners, we don't kind of sit and brainstorm or chat about our ideas. We sort of go off and then come back together and record the show, pretty much, don't we?
Perhaps we should start sort of doing stuff in advance, but yeah, I quite like the structure we've got.
Yeah, we're kind of off the cuff, kind of makes us all spontaneous and stuff. I've kind of just had a look at some genres and games that kind of fit into those genres, and genres that games do a lot, because they seem to sort of go over the same kind of ground. So one of my favourite genres is noir, film noir, and games love film noir, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So just a couple of games that came to mind when I was thinking noir was Grim Fandango. Is probably one of the earlier ones that really ran with the noir kind of setting, in the sort of most classic kind of 40s trench coat and trilby kind of sort of private detective style,
Yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
Chandler-esque noir.
It's a really sort of interesting and sort of slanted take on that as well, sort of combining it with that Day of the Dead mythology, even though the second act of that game is Casablanca. That's all it is. It's you know, it's Humphrey Bogart running there. I really love Grim Fandango. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I haven't played it.
Really?
Because I think when it came out, I didn't have a PC.
Yeah.
And then I think I bought it and it wouldn't run. So I've just had rotten luck with it. But I know that you picked it up quite recently.
Yeah, well, I picked it up when it came out, the remaster came out. And then I also got it with, it was one of the PlayStation Plus games a couple of months ago. And
that's right.
I got halfway through it when I picked it up, and then I went through it a bit again for the PlayStation version, didn't get very far. Now that I've got a Vita as well, I have it on that, and I think, right, that's where I'm actually going to play it. I'm going to carry that around with me and just use it as sort of a point and click.
Device. Yeah, I think I'm going to play it, because I think it's just everything I love in a game.
Yep.
That's what it looks like to me. Just looks like pleasure. And any noir ones that you thought of? I've got Max Payne. There was another obvious one.
Again, that's another sort of very stylized and noir that's unique to itself. It's very comic book, and it's got its own style sort of imprinted over the top of noir. I really missed that in the third game. They just didn't do any of the comic book stuff. They turned it into a sort of, not that it wasn't like visually interesting, it was sort of South American, I think it was Sao Paulo or something like that, and it has an interesting visual style, but it wasn't what I wanted, because I'd loved the previous two games and just that. I actually played the first one again recently. I played that when I was, I think I must have been about 15 or 16 when I first played it, and I thought, oh, this had a really interesting sound. I went back to it later on. I thought, oh, actually, I see how this works now. This dialogue is not cool. It's just really overwrought and really melodramatic in a way that appealed to me as a teenager and appeals to me now in sort of not an ironic way, but a sort of more detached, I see what they're doing sort of way. And that part, I suppose, does make it into Max Payne 3. It is still, he's a very melodramatic guy, but it just doesn't have the style that I loved from the first two.
Yeah, yeah. And then L.A. Noire is another one that, they give it away in the name,
Yes, they do.
really. It's another game that plays with noir, but it got so many things right, but then just was a fairly terrible game.
Yeah, it was. It got a lot of the. Again, I think this is why video games like to do noir because, and we were talking about this when we were discussing Rogue One the other week. Noir is a very easy thing to visually emulate. All you have to do is turn up your blacks and make it a bit sort of washed out and that.
Well, I don't think it's easy, but there are some, it's got some very clear boxes that you have to
Yeah,
tick, kind of thing, because it's also easy to do quite
oh yeah, absolutely. But I mean,
badly.
if you know sort of what you're aiming for, if you know what noir is, and if you're familiar or literate in that style, it's not too difficult to get that atmosphere. It's just you've got to hang it
You
on
need some.
something good. You've got to hang it on a good game, and with the greatest will in the world, the L.A. Noire mystery and interrogation systems are no good. They don't work.
No, they don't. And I just got bored by everyone in it,
Yeah.
basically. I think you need a good, well, you, with any story, you need a good hero, someone to kind of sort of gun for, as it were, excuse the pun. But yeah, L.A. Noire got, the music, the sort of the period detail, all that sort of the, slanted blinds, light coming through kind of
Yeah.
Venetian blinds and all that sort of thing, right? And hats and cigarettes and lipstick.
Absolutely, and the bits I like about that game are the in between bits. They're not the interrogation. It's the bit where you're sort of walking down the stairs with your partner, your cop partner, and you're just discussing a case, and you've got your hat on, and you're just walking through a police station, which is doing stuff around you. And I was just like, oh, this isn't this is nice. This is what I want to be doing. I just want to be walking around in this atmosphere, just soaking it in.
With a bit of sort of Miles Davis wafting over the top of
Yeah,
you, making you
precisely,
feel really
and then
cool.
it's constantly sort of distracting you, saying, "Oh, actually, you need to go and do this now." And
Yeah, you need to go and collect, I don't
yeah, you need to go and sort of fumble your way through an interrogation, the mechanics of which are not fully explained to you as a player.
Yeah, exactly. So I think noir is one of those that games like to do a lot. I think you're going to talk about Heavy Rain later, but that
It's.
was also on my list of noir games. I mean, the name alone
Yep.
is noir. But yeah, so we'll move on, and you're going to discuss Heavy Rain later. And then I thought about GTA as an obvious game series that really riffs off movies, especially Vice City.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's like, Miami Vice meets Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. The thing about GTA is that it's so wide ranging that it tends to draw influence from quite a lot of films and yeah, that apart from I mean Vice City is obviously a sort of very much 80s Miami Vice sort of films. The rest of them, they're kind of I'm trying to think of the right word. They're sort of suspended in a certain time and a certain atmosphere, but not drawing on anything specifically to do that, if you see what
No.
I mean.
Well, I think San Andreas is Boys in the Hood,
All right,
basically.
well, there we are. I'm not particularly familiar with Boys in the Hood, so I
Oh, okay. Oh,
missed all
you
the
must put
references.
that on your must watch,
All right, I
because that
certainly
is a
will.
great, great film. And I think the one in New York didn't re I mean, I didn't play that much, but as far as I could tell, it was just sort of generic, gritty New York. So,
Yeah, I
yeah.
definitely think so. And there's the thing is there are a lot of films set in that environment in the city
Yeah, so
slash
it
New
could
York.
be
Yes.
anything. But I think GTA 5 draws on a lot of cinematic things as opposed to a specific film. But it's just that, well, I suppose there's the Sopranos is in there, isn't it?
Yeah. That
And
Goodfellas and
yeah.
others, especially GTA 3, it does pull from all the sort of mafia wells,
Yeah, it does.
and the newest one, GTA 5, it the heist mechanic was very sort of, they clearly wanted to do stuff like Heat and Ocean's 11, all the big heist movies. I think there's a Reservoir Dogs one in there as well. The problem that I had with that was that when it does slip into heist mode, it becomes so scripted and linear, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, well, I see you're referencing a film, but you're just showing me sort of an arrangement of things that I've seen in that film and taking me through them like a haunted house or but still, when you do play them, when you do play them for the first time, they are fun, and you say,
Exactly,
it's
yeah,
just
I think
when you go
they
back to
are
them, you
fun.
start to see the strings that are holding the ghosts up.
But what I would like to see from the GTA films seem to go forward always from Vice City on. They've moved forward in terms of time period. It'd be really cool to see a period one,
Yeah, it would.
sort of Untouchables or something,
I mean, that I think
sort of
that's what.
Capone, Al Capone style. I think it'd be awesome to have a GTA with where you're like standing on running boards and stuff
Well,
like
I think
that.
that's what the Mafia games tried to do, isn't it? They, especially the first one that was very much trying to be. I don't know if it was specifically trying to be GTA 3, and in fact, I can't remember the timeline in which those games came out. But it's certainly an open world driving simulator where you can get out, you've got guns, and it's missions back and forth, and it's all set in 1930s, wherever America. So yeah,
Chicago
there's
or
certainly
something.
opportunities. I would like to see GTA have a go at it.
Yeah, I would.
Although I always think with GTA, the humor in GTA is, I'm not a massive fan of it. It's always kind of blunt force. They overdo the jokes. There's no subtlety involved, and
No.
I do hate. I am sort of skeptical.
I was thinking that as when you were talking after I'd finished, I was thinking, would it work though, just because exactly that, their style is kind of crass and it would break the period touch all
How
the
do you do pop culture references if
time.
you're in
Exactly.
something that's not
Or
pop
as
culture?
they like to think, what they like to think is satire,
I mean, I don't think
which
they have any pretensions to being sort of, well, sometimes they do.
I think they do. I think they
Fair
do.
enough.
And then there's the obvious ones, the sort of like blockbuster type things like Uncharted and Tomb Raider and Metal Gear, who, they're sort of like a, I don't know.
Metal Gear definitely is.
Well, he's a frustrated film director,
Yes,
so
yes.
he's just like, oh, I better put some game bits in, I
Need a different
guess.
editor. I mean, I think that might be part of the reason I love Metal Gear Solid so much, is because there is a lot of that stuff in it, and even though it is kind of it's not perfectly implemented, and he does tend to go on a bit too much, and there's not enough game in there. When he is referencing something that I've seen, I'm like, oh yes, I see what's being done. Did you play Peace Walker, the PSP, and later sort of I
I
think it
don't
came out on
like Metal
PS3 as
Gear
well.
games,
Oh, fair enough. Well,
so I don't play them. But I have watched quite a lot of them. My boyfriend at the time worked at
fair enough.
Konami, so I had to live with Metal Gear quite a lot.
Peace
I've
Walker
watched them enough.
is it's basically Doctor Strangelove. It's re the, a retelling of the story of Doctor Strangelove in a sort of Metal Gear context, and it's the only Metal Gear game that is adequately paced. It's where it there's no 20-minute cut. Well, there are, but it's only one or two, and the rest of it is actually sort of paced properly, and it works really well because it's exploring the themes brought up by that film in the context of interactivity and how you engage with it, which I think is really cool.
I mean, he does do that really well. That sort of breaks the fourth wall
Oh yeah, absolutely.
and sort of does that thing where you're like, oh, this isn't a film, this is a game. He makes those little references, doesn't he, that reminds you that this is a game. So that is quite nice. And he obviously loves his source material so
He does.
much. So yeah.
Just off topic a bit, and you might probably edit this out later, but I read a book the other day. Have you seen the sort of boss fight books? It's an imprint of books about specific video games, and the guys who did you ever see the web series Hey Ash, What You Playing? All right,
No.
fair enough. Well, it's a brother and sister who are very knowledgeable about games, and they just did a book about Metal Gear Solid and how it had influenced their childhood, and they went back through it and they went through the story of it and basically just assassinated it. They tore it apart. They said, okay, this doesn't work. This bit is very, very sexist. This bit doesn't make any sense. This bit is badly done. But it's still coming from a place of love, but it's going back and saying that and saying, this
Yeah.
is. It's finding the silly bits of it, and I thought it was a really interesting book, and that's not relevant,
Oh.
but I'd
Yeah.
check that out if you
Oh,
had any
okay.
interest in it, which I imagine you
Cool.
don't because you don't like Metal Gear, but there we
Well, I appreciate Metal Gear, so
are.
but I might not relive it quite as vividly as other people are. So what's the book called?
It's called
Okay,
Metal
someone.
Gear Solid. If you Google boss fight books, they do
Oh,
bits of
okay. So they do a, okay, it's a
And they're all
series of
very good. They're interesting and worth reading. They're not just sort of churned out things. They try to be insightful and have something to say about the
Yeah, cool. Interesting. So, and then I had a little think about things that games don't do very much, and one of them is Westerns, bizarrely. I mean, we've got Red Dead,
and then,
and
yeah.
which did an amazing job of a Western, and with sort of love, a loving homage to all the greats. But really, it's not that plundered, deeply plundered as a genre in
No,
games.
there are a few. There's the Call of Juarez series, which does work. I'm not a massive fan of that series. I did like
No.
Gunslinger, which I thought was very good. It's a sort of it's a cartoony sort. There's definitely a bit of noir in it as well. It's just sort of a cartoony retelling of just a gunfighter who tells a tall tale about who how he sort of traveled the West, and he meets up with all of these classic Western characters and has
Okay.
gunfights with most of them. There's a gunfight with Jesse James at the end, and it's very it's a really interesting game. I think it's probably one of the better Western games that has been made, but you're
Yeah.
definitely right. There is a sort of a scarcity of games in that genre, and I think that's just
Yeah.
because Western films aren't necessarily very popular anymore with modern audiences. We don't see that many of them, and I think that the certainly the target market for shooting video games, which is at the moment it's males 18 to 24. I don't. You'd be hard pressed to find an 18-year-old these days who'd seen, for example, The Searchers. And I say
Yeah.
that very hypocritically, but because I haven't seen The Searchers, but I have seen The Magnificent Seven, and I also think that not many people that age would have seen that film either. I just don't think they're in the cultural zeitgeist enough to make a game in the genre that would be required, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, but I suppose, but I mean, considering the games are so preoccupied with the white male anti-hero,
Yeah,
I
that is.
mean, he came from Westerns.
That is. Yeah, that's an excellent point.
It's got guns in it, it's got enemies, it's got a wasteland. That's lots of things that games deal with all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
The sort of man against nature type thing,
So yeah, well, I don't disagree. I think Red Dead Redemption was a very good game, and I
yeah.
talked about Gunslinger. I think these games would work, and they would be well
Yeah.
appreciated. But I have a feeling that there is a guy sort of who does all the funding, who just looks at it and says, nobody's going to buy a
Yeah.
Western in 2016.
Yeah. Well,
Let's
yeah, could be.
do
Yeah,
another
Space Marine.
exactly.
Or zombies.
People who like video games like to
We haven't done zombies for a while. And we could just have Wild West zombies.
Well, they did that, didn't they?
Yeah. Okay, let's not have any more zombies anymore, please, people. So zombie films. Yeah, I didn't even think of that, but that has been done to death. And then the one that I just wanted to quickly mention, I feel like I've taken up all the time, but is Life is Strange. So that would basically, if it was a film, it would star Ellen Page, and it would open at Sundance.
Yeah, absolutely.
From the music, everything, the sort of quiet, melancholy pacing, the teenage girl is the central thing. Everything was just screamed indie film.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting sort of an interesting distinction is that it's not an indie. You have indie games, and then you've got this game, which is not necessarily an indie game. It's made by Square Enix, I think, isn't it? But it's a game inspired by indie film, which I think is quite it's sort of quite unique, and I can't think of many other examples. Not specifically by films. I
No,
mean, there.
that have that same atmosphere that Life is Strange had, that.
Yeah, I mean, sort of games like Gone Home sort of touch on the same
Yeah.
themes, but they're not inspired by films. They're in
No.
that's very much a game. It's
Yeah.
its own thing. It delivers its message within its own mechanics rather than
Yeah. So those were my picks, basically. So
Oh.
what have you got for us? So you wanted to talk about pick up again on Heavy Rain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Awesome.
the topic we've got is games inspired by films, which sort of implies inspired by specific films. I sort of approached it as games inspired by film in general. I wanted to talk about games that aren't necessarily inspired by specific films, but are sort of more generally inspired by cinema. And the best examples I can think of are sort of Quantic Dreams games or David Cage's games, if you like. So specifically Heavy Rain, and I'll talk a little bit about Beyond Two Souls as well. Although I've just sort of started playing that, I bought that recently, and I've been going through it sort of not quite as preparation for this podcast, but I certainly thought, oh, that would be a good one to play in advance of this. So Heavy Rain is sort of it's I mean it's a bit of a divisive game. It was quite sort of polarizing in the response. That when it came out, it was marketed as, sort of a playable thriller or murder mystery, and it was one of the early games to really sell player controlled story in a big way. Like your actions determine the ending, but not only your decisions, but your like successes and failures in a way that was sort of picked up later and by games like The Walking Dead, and
Telltale kind of.
yeah, absolutely, and a lot of that stuff, the outcomes, it's decided by how well you do at like the quick time events that you that take place throughout the game. And I think critically, like Heavy Rain was pretty well regarded, but then there was this undercurrent of like audience dissatisfaction about how it wasn't really a game. Like, incidentally, that is a phrase that we've seen pop up again more recently in backlash to like the proliferation of indie Nazi games. So I don't know how much stock you can put in it. But Heavy Rain kind of marketed itself as like a playable film, and the uncharitable way of putting that is that it's a playable cutscene. Now, I don't think that either of those descriptions is particularly accurate. I don't think Heavy Rain is a game that is a playable film. I think it's a game about films, and on that level, it works for me. Like you can sort of I know you haven't played this, so sorry to go on about it in a way that you sort of can't engage with. But it's you can kind of see it overtly in the films that it's directly referencing. Have you seen any of the sort of media surrounding it? You must have seen screenshots and stuff like that. It owes a lot to Seven, in specifically David Fincher films like that. There's some LA Confidential in there. There are scenes from Saw in there. There's a very specific scene which is very reminiscent of one of the Saw films. I can't remember which one it was. And there are lots of bits and pieces taken from like other psychological thrillers, and then sort of from PI films as well. So like old Humphrey Bogart films, not specifically, but certainly influenced by them. So it's a game that you get a lot more out of if you're, sort of familiar with the source material, or if you're quite cinema literate. Although that does sound a little bit elitist, but
You're selling me on Heavy Rain
well,
now.
that is
I'm thinking, oh, maybe, because it
partly the
was so.
intent. I do think that's a game that it did get a fair shake. I don't think it's fair to say that it was underappreciated.
No, I don't think so at all. And I really did want to play it. I just didn't have a PlayStation at the time. And then it kind of, the moment passed by the time I did pick up a PS3, and then I played Beyond Two Souls, and then I thought, do I really want to play Heavy Rain after playing Beyond
Yeah,
Two
don't
Souls?
judge Heavy Rain by Beyond Two Souls. They are different, and they do something different. I mean, what I think Heavy Rain aims for, and I think it does it very successfully, is that it takes individual scenes that are common to this type of sort of thriller, like Seven or so. Well, not so much. So there's a specific scene in the game that's reminiscent of Saw. I don't think it influences the whole thing, but it's not necessarily about, hey, here's, what would you do if you were in the film Seven? It's more like it and Beyond Two Souls are both very episodic, and they are divided specifically into scenes. So what it does is present you with a scene, and it says, "Hey, do you remember this scene from this film? Remember how you were like, okay, I wouldn't have handled it like that. I would have done this. I would have done that instead." And I would, and it's like, "Well, here's your chance. Have a go at this." So it and it does that with other scenes too. It makes you it asks you to be a suspect dealing with a police interrogation, and then in another scene it asks you to be the police officer interrogating a suspect. It sort of switches between characters like that, and you recognize those scenes from films. The Usual Suspects, there's that's the big sort of police interrogation film. And what the game likes to do is just put you in a vignette from that, from a certain film or a certain trope scene from a film, and just ask you what you would do in that situation. And that's why I loved it so much, because I could do that all day, you know? It's like taking a tour through all my favorite films, because I'm a big fan of psychological thrillers and Hitchcock films and David Fincher films.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna play Heavy Rain, and I think we're gonna do a podcast on
I
it
I'd be happy to do
and
that.
chat about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to and then you can talk about some of the other games you've got now, and then we can have a conversation about it when I can kind of engage with it as
Yeah,
well. That would
absolutely.
be
I'd love
interesting.
to hear.
So yeah, you've convinced me that I do need to play Heavy Rain now.
And like me saying that it's about doing individual scenes, I don't mean to say that it doesn't work in the manner that it was presented as, which is, just a playable. So that game, I am inclined to be charitable towards that game in the same way I'm inclined to be charitable towards Far Cry, because it was saying, "Oh, well, do you want to play Die Hard in the Jungle?" Yes, I do. This one said, "Do you want to play the film Seven, where your actions affect the ending, and you might or might not discover who the killer is?" And I said, "Yes, I absolutely do. I'll."
Both hands up to
Yes, like
that.
I went. You said you didn't have a PS3 at the time. Neither did I. I had to go and borrow one off somebody and rent it from Blockbuster.
Oh,
But
really?
I'm immediately playing that. Yes, and
Okay.
yeah, no, it's definitely worth playing. And I think it
Okay.
does some very interesting things, and I think that a lot of the audience backlash was due to just maybe not that the people who played it weren't looking for it to be what it was. They were looking for, I don't think this, no, I don't think I'm making a particularly cogent point here, but I think you have to be, to get the most out of that game, you'd need to be familiar with the source material that it's homaging, that it's redoing, that it's letting in.
Because I think that's, I think maybe with Beyond Two Souls, I think you're halfway through, so you probably think it's still a good game.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can tell you the journey that I'm having with that game is that I was, a third of the way into it, and I thought, "Oh yes, this is actually really good. I can't understand why people didn't like this so much. There's lots of stuff to enjoy here. It's a lot of fun to play as Ellen Page, it turns out, because you get a lot of options to just shrug and roll your eyes, and I just liked playing that character as Ellen Page as possible. And you get to be like, well, depending on your sort of the way you approach it, you get to be the nasty, angry poltergeist who, flips out and breaks things. And there's that scene early on where you go to that party, teenage party, and they shove you in a cupboard, and they're like, "Oh, you're a witch." To be honest, they're not very well-rendered characters. They don't read sort
No,
of.
but
But then you say, but she's like, "Oh, help me, Aiden." And then you're like, "Okay, I'm going to be Aiden now. Let's Let's do a
let's wreak some
exactly,
havoc.
which is a lot of fun. Although I think it does sort of undermine some of the horror that comes into the game later, because how are you going to make me scared of ghosts when I've spent half of the game playing as a ghost who just likes to do all this stuff, you know? I can, you know, I know kind of what's behind the curtain there.
Well, I think, and you saying that, you know, maybe people playing Heavy Rain expected, you know, sort of more gaminess perhaps, and you know, they weren't playing with the language that gamers speak in, as it were, you know. And I think with Beyond Two Souls, he maybe went the other way, because there's a switch coming up about just after the bit that you're at
Oh dear,
now,
oh yeah.
where he you feel that he lost faith in what he was doing
Oh.
and was like, quick, let's do something for the gamers so that they like me again.
All right,
That's
well,
what I
I'm
felt.
interested to see what that is. I was going to talk about something in that context with Heavy Rain as well, but now that you've said you wanted to play it, I wouldn't have spoiled anything, but if you were sharp enough, you'd know what I was talking about. I think you might figure something out before, which you shouldn't before playing it. I mean, you don't know the sort of reveal in that game, I assume. There
No,
we are. So
no.
I won't talk about any of this, but there's certainly an element of where Heavy Rain is a film, where it does the film stuff really well, but it takes some film mechanics and tries to apply them to interactivity and gaming mechanics. And there is one big moment in Heavy Rain where those two sort of planets collide. And what comes out doesn't work, and you sort of feel a little bit cheated. So yeah, I'll let you experience that. I don't want to spoil anything. But certainly the first time you play that game, and before you know that's going to happen, it's just brilliant, and I loved every second of it.
I'm intrigued now. I'm going to do that. But once I've got through the horror that is
Yeah.
Half-Life,
All right. Me too. You're still working on
still plowing through
it. Fair enough.
it. That's a little teaser for people listening
I.
of a topic that's coming up. So thanks to everyone for listening. And don't forget to leave some comments if there's things that you'd like us to talk about. We can do that as well.
We'll fit it
Do
in
the
somewhere.
and yeah, we're on SoundCloud now as well. So you can listen on the go on your phone and whatnot as well. And that's it. That's us.
Yep.
We have argued the toss once more.
Successfully.
Yes. Until next time.
Cheerio.
Bye.